The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. Oh, same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me, me within your love.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Is my confidence, you never fail me.
Father, we magnify you. You are God, and you will never fail us. You are true to your word, faithful one. We bless you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you. We look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, recognizing, O God, that outside of you, there is no presence, there is no help, there is no goodness. For all goodness comes forth out of you. We embrace, O God, all that you have for us. We become one with you, Most High. Faithful God, your steadfast love is unending. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence now. As your people are gathered, O God, in this platform right this very moment, let this be, O God, a place of great grace. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. And thank you, Lord, O God, that every satanic agenda is brought to naught. You establish us, O God. Touch the hearts of your people. Shut down the voices of the enemy. And cause, O God, all of us under your lordship to seek you with all of our hearts and to live, O God, for you. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. In Yeshua's name, we declare it so done. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank God for every one of you that are logged in. Those of you that are watching on Facebook Live and on YouTube and other platforms around the world, may the hand of God rest upon you mightily, and may you know true fulfillment in every area of your life. Tonight we're going to continue in our discuss about destiny helpers. And of course, in talking about destiny helpers, we have to talk about destiny blockers. And in the process, I believe we'll talk about destiny switchers. There are those who do not block you, but they want to switch what it is that God has for you for themselves. These are three factors about destiny that you and I need to be aware of. I have not shared with you yet what the Word of God says to do about these, how to counteract them. If when I start reading it, you will think, oh my God, oh, that is mean. But that's not what God thinks. Because anyone who's trying to disturb or stop you from fulfilling your destiny in God is an enemy of God. It's one who does not want God to be glorified. That's a destiny blocker. And but God doesn't do anything in the earth without having a voice in the earth speaking what is in God's heart concerning the matter. So the Word of God tells us that all Scripture is inspired of God. For an example, all that we read in the Word of God has been given to us as samplers for what we do, what should be done. And so when you read and you hear the prayers that have been prayed as a testament, as a procedural fact, as a historical approach to the particular issue, then understand this is God's perspective about that particular issue also. And so he has given direction on what to do and how to deal with it. So when I get to that particular aspect, I want you to know it is God's perspective on the issue. It is not an easy read, an easy study, but it is God's perspective on it. And my Lord, is it ever hard? You'll be squirming in your seat when we start reading and going through the aspect of what God says to do with destiny blockers. But we'll get there. Nehemiah gave us a hint about it. And when I get there, I will go back to Nehemiah and I will pull the passage of what Nehemiah said, and I'll continue on from there. It might not be today. I doubt that it will be today. Today, I want you to come with me to the book of 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. 2 Kings 18. Father, breathe on your word and let this word capture our hearts and our minds. Let us be renewed in the spirit of our minds, so that we can prove and establish that which is your good and perfect will. Amen. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, and I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight. Let me warn you about that, because I find that that might cut down the amount of time for me to explain what it is that we're reading. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the son of Ahaz, began to reign. Ahaz simply means one who has grasped. He's gotten the idea. He has it. Got it. Hezekiah is the son of the one who's got it. Amen. I pray that today that you and I will get it, get the point. Hezekiah means one who has been strengthened by God. He began to reign. 25 years old was he. 25, that's 5 times 5. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, and Abi simply means that means fatherly, like you say Abba. The daughter of Zechariah. Zechariah means God remembers. I'm explaining these names because when you read the Word of God, you find out that names are very important to God. I never go past a name without checking it out. What is this name about? What is the destiny of this name about? And it's uncanny how names of people and places play out in the narrative. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This is what I want you to see about Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This man should not have any problems. Well, because you're doing things right doesn't mean that problems don't come. What it does mean is that in the day of trouble, you can call upon the Lord and he will deliver. Let me skip way back to the far end of this story about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is in trouble. He has an incurable disease that meant his death. And the prophet Isaiah come to him and told him to get his house in order because he was going to die. And the man turns his face against the wall and he cries out to God. The end result of it is that Isaiah had to come back because God says, the man I just told you to tell that he's going to die, he's not going to die anymore. And the man says, Hezekiah says to Isaiah, okay, I hear you, but you just came by just a few minutes ago and told me I was going to die. I need a sign about this. Isaiah says, what sign do you want? Do you want me to get the time to move forward on the sundial by 10 degrees? Or move it backwards by 10 degrees. And Hezekiah says, move it back 10 degrees. In essence, it's like you were never here telling me the bad news about my death. I want God to move time and space and whatever needs to be moved to accommodate my particular need. This man who could move God's hand that way can accomplish a lot of things. That is, if he elects to do so. I don't make a comment about him again soon. Anyway, he did all that was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, did. Notice his father, David, but his father is Ahaz. But what is this connection? The connection is back to his roots in David. He removed the high places. Note that. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent. This is one who broke the brazen serpent. What brazen serpent is this? This is that brazen serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness when the children of Israel were being beaten by serpents because of their rebellion and their murmuring and all of that. And whoever looked at that serpent, brazen serpent, got healed. Those who did not look, for whatever reason, died. So this brazen serpent of Moses is there, and what are people doing? They're still worshiping it. And he cut it down. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He called it Nehushtan. So he destroyed that particular at this point. It has become an idol. Thank God that that brazen serpent represented the cross. For them, it was a brazen serpent. For us, it is a cross. Because as the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so also shall the Son of God be lifted up. We do have a cross right there, but it is not something that we worship. As ministers, we have crosses on. If I were dressed in my regalia as a bishop or as an apostle, I will have a big cross on my chest. Now the problem is, that is supposed to represent something, but not to be a point of worship. And these people were worshiping that, and he called it Nehushtan, meaning something made out of brass. This is just made out of brass. This is just wood. The real deal is the empty tomb. So, the word of God goes on. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him, that Hezekiah, was none like him among all the kings of Judah. This man is totally sold out, nor any that were before him. No one before him or after him was so sold out to God. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. He did not depart from following God, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whichsoever he went forth. Wherever it is that he went forth, he prospered. Wherever it is that he went forward, he prospered. And the Bible says, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. This is what we must understand. The thing about God is continuity. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. All that we're reading about Hezekiah here is amazing. It's just incredible. And when you read through Chronicles also, you see the amazing things this man did, how he brought restoration back to the people of God. But fear is an insidious thing. People do a lot of crazy things when they are afraid. And I want you and I to consider tonight this thought. What scares you? What do you think has so much overwhelming influence over your life? Because whatever your circumstances that you hold so high really does not compare with the awesomeness of God. But many times, while we're looking at God, we can be distracted to looking at our problems. And that's exactly what's going to happen to this man. He's bold, yeah. And he rebels against the king of Assyria and served him not. He goes forward and he smites the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. He is just moving forward and he's prosperous. Verse 9. And came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah. In the fourth year. That's interesting. Which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. So the attack is against Samaria, not against him. And the Bible says, at the end of 3 years, they took it. That's 10 years of his reign. It's taken. But even in the sixth year of Hezekiah. Now, watch this. What is God trying to communicate? Why is he giving us these numbers? Why 7 and 10, 4 and 6? For we know it's a number that's connected to the time and season of trial. 6, we know, is a number connected with the number of man. 7, we know, is a number of completion. 10, also we know, is a number of completion. Those are numbers for change. From 7, you go to 8, which is the new beginning. From 10, you go to 11, which is a new beginning. Are you with me so far? But 4 and 6 spell out the end of a season that is going to bring you to that place of completion. And Bible says, and at the end of 3 years, they took it, even the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. Gone. Let's go on. And king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. So we have a contrast here. One is moving with God. The other one was not listening to God. And the one that's not listening to God is caught up, taken. But they did not listen to the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant. They've transgressed his covenant. And all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and will not hear them, nor do them. In other words, we don't want to hear that. Get that Bible away from that, and we don't want that religious stuff around here. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, this another king now, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Wait a minute. Whatever happened to the king of Israel is happening to the king of Judah. But we know that the other one didn't listen to God, didn't follow God. We know that. How is it that what is happening to Hoshea is happening to Hezekiah? This is where the problem is. The problem many times is that we see something that is happening to the world happening amongst believers. And rather than staying faithful to what God said, we begin to shake. We get scared. We get afraid. Maybe it was just luck. We start using different words. And that's where Hezekiah is. He's overwhelmed by what is happening here. He had seen Hosea defeated, and now he himself is experiencing what Hosea, the king of Samaria or Israel, experienced. And he's not sure what to do about this. What do I do? And the Bible says, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. I made a mistake. I rebelled against you. It was a mistake. Please forgive me. Please, please. I didn't know what I was thinking. I ate the wrong kind of food. And somebody advised me wrongly. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. You want to censor me. You want to do whatever it is you want to do. I'm going to bear that. I'm whatever it is you want me to pay, I'm going to pay. Before you start shooting your mouth off and thinking, how can you do that, Hezekiah? Think again. He's a man, and he's scared. He's saying, COVID attacked those people over there, and they died. Now, COVID's sister is now attacking me and people in my family. Oh, maybe I made a mistake. Believe in God. That's where he is. Oh, cancer killed that person over there, and I'm believing God that God is my healer, and my God, da, 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 blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But now the problem is in your backyard, and you start wondering, there was another reason. That's exactly where he is. I have offended. Return from me. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. This is my levy on you. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord. He takes that which belongs to God and begins to dismantle what belonged to God. When you and I are afraid about things, that's how far we go. We start taking what belongs to God and handing it over to the devil. He gave all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. He handed it over. See how far it goes. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord. Cut it off. And from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, even the things that he did to make the temple beautiful. Remember, this is the Hezekiah when the temple was shut. After many years, through many kings, this is the Hezekiah that opened back the doors of the temple and reinstated true worship of God. When Uzziah and his sons had shut down everything. He'd beautified the temple, laid gold on the pillars, and he went and he stripped all the gold and gave it to the king of Assyria. And this is where it gets funny. You see, because many times we think we can negotiate with the devil. But he is not a gentleman. Shalmaneser had come against, that's the king before Sennacherib, had come against Hoshea, defeated them, wiped them out, taking them all out into captivity. And now Sennacherib is coming and he hands everything over. And the king of Assyria, after he'd done all of that, he's still not satisfied. The king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris. I'm Repsheker. I don't have time to go into all of those names right now. Those are very interesting names. From Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. He had already placed the levy. And now that he's compromised, he thinks Sennacherib is going to stop. But Sennacherib doesn't stop. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? Those that want to stop the fulfillment of the destiny of your life, don't stop because you compromise. The devil never lets you go free if you compromise. You got to stay with God, stick with God all the way. When you begin the process of compromise, the enemy will take one more thing, and 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 one more thing, until he strips you bare. In every area of your life, in every area of my life, I need to stand for something and continue standing. And having done all, stand. Stay true to God and to yourself, and give fear no room. He gave fear room, and now he's got Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabsheker. They come with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool. Strategic. The upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. The fuller's field. Fuller, that is that which whitens. They've come to the upper levels. That's where all of your water is going to flow down from. And they've captured that. Now they're going to take control of whatever it is that's coming your way. They're going to take control of the fuller's field. He says, and when they had called to the king, they came to them. Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. Remember, I talked to you about Asaph today. It means the one who gathers. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus said the great king, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusted? Wait a minute. Didn't you hear what I said? I am sorry. I offended. I sent all this money. I sent all the resources. I even stripped the pillar. I took even the gold off of the doorknobs and I sent it. Hey, man. Does Sennacherib think about any other thing? He is still thinking about what you did before. Listen, child of God, listen. Hear this. You know, somebody like me, that has caused the devil lots of troubles in different places. I cannot compromise with the devil because he will remember all the trouble I've caused him and give me every... pour every mess. And if you have given the devil any trouble, remember, he still remembers. he will bite you. So stick with the program. Stick with God. Don't ever compromise with the devil. He says, what confidence is this wherein thou trusted? You trusting in God? Yeah. Well, I used to. And I gave you everything. Thou says, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? But man, I said I offended. And you put a levy on me and I paid it. I'm not rebelling anymore. Mm-mm. No, I don't trust you. I don't trust you not a bit. You're going to pull a fast one on me again. I'm going to deal with you and let everybody know that I've dealt with you. Don't ever compromise. Don't ever compromise, child of God. Please don't. Don't. Encourage everyone around you never to compromise. Who are you trusting in that you've rebelled against me? Now, behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt? So we find out. Hezekiah is playing games. He's giving all kinds of stuff to this guy, and he's trying to connect with Egypt. Egypt represents the world. Worldly solutions. Oh, man. When you place your faith in the world, you will only spell disaster. On which if a man lean, you lean on Egypt, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him. You see, it is Sennacherib that is telling us that that's what Hezekiah is doing. But Hezekiah is going to come back. He's going to wake up. There's going to be a reset. And child of God, that's what God is calling every one of us to, a reset. You may have compromised in your walk with God, backed off whatever it is that you used to believe in, until trouble came to your back door. Now you are rethinking everything, and God is saying to you, stick with the program, stick with me, stick with me. Stick with me. Don't compromise your relationship with God because of whatever it is that's happening in the world, because of the economy of the world, because of the educational system in the world, because of the health situation in the world, because of the political system, because of people being counseled here, left, right, and center. Don't compromise what you believe. Stick with it. Go to the world, you are going to be disappointed. 22. But if you say unto me, if you're saying that you're not relying on Egypt, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, it's not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken away, You see, this is the world trying to redefine Hezekiah. He's taken off the high places that the people were worshiping devils. He's cut them off, but they've been worshiping it for so long that Sennacherib thinks that's the God of the people. So it is that we have held on to so many traditions and rituals. Some churches are just based on rituals, rituals, rituals. All kinds of crazy stuff. Sprinkle this, burn this. Sit down, get up, sit down, get up, sit down, get up. Rituals. And the world looks at that and says, that's how you worship. But God is very simple. He's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Hezekiah has been lambasted and identified. A new narrative is in placed over him. You are a traitor. You tore down the high places. You tore down the altars. And you've said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses. This is getting really interesting. I'm just laying a foundation to Hezekiah tonight. I'm going to continue with this. They say to him, give us pledges, make us promises, things that you're going to do. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you 2,000 horses and see if thou be able to place a rider upon each of these horses. Just 2,000. We're going to give you 2,000 horses. It's just us. Huh? Yeah, 2,000 horses. See if you can have soldiers on those 2,000 horses. Just to help you make sure that you know, that we know, that you know, that we know, that you know that you defeated. You know, match for us. We're coming. If you think about not paying the pledges, we're coming. How then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants? All of you, you can't turn off one of these. Now, let's understand something here. This is Hezekiah we're talking about. And this is Judah that we're talking about. These are the people of God. They are prosperous. They reinstated the Passover. They reinstated the feast of the Lord. The streets are full of heaps of grain. The priesthood is restored, and the people are blessed beyond measure. That's what we've been reading. I didn't read you that today, but that's the story. How is it that these people that are so blessed, that word of God tells us Hezekiah, wherever Hezekiah went, prosperity, victory, success was there. How is it that this man is able to make these comments and say, one of our battalion would take care and wipe out your army. We don't need to bring all of our forces here. What is happening here? This is the way of the enemy to disenfranchise you and I from recognizing what God has given to us, and that God is more than enough in every situation. If you look at your circumstance, if you look at your pocketbook, look at your bank account, look at your family, look at your job, look at your business, look at whatever, there comes a time when you think it is not enough. And the enemy beats that into your mind so that you can begin to say it out of your mouth. Let me say to you, some of the most challenging parts, times, let me put it that way, in ministry for me, have been those times when I'm believing God for something, and I see that God is going to do this, and I'm heading in that particular direction, and lo, behold, it seems like the bottom falls out. And instead of things going this way, they're going down that way. Now, what the enemy wants me to do during those times is to confess how bad things are. Because until I begin to confess and come into agreement with it, it is not real. So what do I do during those times? I continue to say what God said, what I am believing, even though what I am believing and what I am seeing are not in alignment. For example, this morning I shared with you about our covenant connection with God. I spoke to every one of us that to come together and gather together to do what God says we should do. Well, in the natural, today we had the worst of all offerings ever. Now, what do? I stay steadfast on what God said, and I continue steadfastly on what God said. When God asks us to come into this place to possess this building, we had, I believe it was $12, was our first offering for this building. And then while God says, go take it. And if you don't take it, our person will shut down the place. I'm saying, God, with $12? Did we get here a month and a half later? Absolutely. Why? Because you focus on what God said, not on what your circumstance is saying. And here is Sennacherib making up things and saying things. How then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? You can handle this. Let's go on. Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Gauls. This Sennacherib is speaking through his lieutenants and is saying, the Lord sent me to destroy you. Ha! Come on! Oh, maybe the Lord is punishing me. I must have done something wrong. So the Lord is destroying me. The Lord is killing me. The Lord gave me cancer. The Lord gave me COVID. The Lord gave me diabetes. The Lord gave me high blood pressure. The Lord gave me heart attack. The Lord gave me bankruptcy. The Lord... Shut! The devil's a liar. Your circumstances do not define you. When the enemy accuses you and says you are aligned in the wrong place, repent. Say, thank you for reminding me that my faith is being put into Egypt rather than in the Lord God, my Father, my King, and my Redeemer, the God who remembers me. I repent. That's what you do. You repent. When the enemy accuses you, you repent. You don't buy into his lies. He's an accuser of the brethren. Notice, he's the accuser of the what? Brethren. That means you're still brethren. Oh, Lord God Almighty. It doesn't matter whether it's Shalmaneser, king of Assyria or Sennacherib, king of Assyria. It doesn't matter what regime. God is still the same. God never dies. Still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is for you, not against you. This lying demon says, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. What Lord? What Lord is he talking about? God never spoke to the devil, didn't have a discussion with the devil about this situation. He's making up this story. And the devil keeps on making up stories, child of God. He keeps on making up stories of accusation. Listen, it may be true that you've messed up, but the Lord did not send no devil to come mess with you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but hear what I'm saying to you right now. Yes, you messed up. You compromised yourself, and things are going south, but God did not send the devil. God himself chastises his own. I don't let strangers come chastising my child. I deal with my child myself. Then said Eliakim, the son of Vilkiah, and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. People that are on the wall are those who are sitting on the fence, so to speak. These are spectators. They're standing there. And what language are these guys speaking? They're speaking the language that the people sitting on the wall will understand. And the emissaries of Hezekiah say, speak to us in the Syrian language. Speak your language to us. We understand. Keep those people out of the picture. But Rabshakeh says unto them, had my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words, had he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall? We're not after you. We didn't come for you. We came for those sitting on the wall, those sitting on the fence, those who are there. We came to speak to them. Has the devil been speaking to you to bring you into a state of confusion, where you're not sold out to God, speaking whatever language he thinks that you will understand, so that you can compromise yourself? The devil is very clear here. Rabshakeh is very clear here. He says, we're not sent to you. Had he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung? And drink their own piss with you. Oh, talking about graphic. Yeah. So that's why we came here. Those guys are going to fill their pants and eat whatever it is that's there. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let that Pastor Zeno, that Bishop Zeno, that apostle, don't let him deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Don't make Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't believe what you are hearing. Don't believe it. Believe us. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus said the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. and come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern. Come to me. Life is going to be better. Stop hanging around that Ezekiah guy. Come on. Until, watch this, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. Can you understand? He says, I'll give you food, until I come and I take you away from your land. Huh? I'm going to take you away from your land, from your possession, and I'm going to take you to a land that is like your own land. Why do I need to leave the land that God has placed me in? I'm going to take you to a land that's like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that you may live and not die. I'm going to give you an alternative, the alternative of science, the alternative of humanism, the alternative of a one-world government. I'll give you something to replace what you're looking for. You want joy? I'll give you joy, but in a different land. You want peace? I'll give you peace, but in a different land. And hearken not unto Ezekiah when he persuadeth you. Don't listen to those preachers saying, the Lord will deliver us. Don't listen to that pastor. What does he know? He's talking to you about God is going to fill your freezer and your fridge, and your car is going to drive on empty. He's telling you all kinds of testimonies. Forget that. That's not how it works. Can't believe God? You can't believe what that man is saying to you? Had any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? I'm the great king. And I win wherever I go. Nobody has been delivered from my hands. You think Ezekiah is going to do it? You think the Lord is going to do it? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arphad? Where are the gods of Shephatham, Hena, and Eva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Those were the gods that the north were serving. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? Double talk. Did he not just say, God sent me? You listen long enough and the devil will bind himself with his own lies. You see, the thing about lies is you've got to remember what you said last. The truth is coming out. He said, why will God be delivering them when God sent you? It's a lie. Think about all the lies you've been listening to from the devil and see it. It's clear right there in front of you. It's all lies. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your circumstances do not define you. No, they don't. You're defined by the integrity of the Word of God. Yes, you may have failed. Yes, you may have blown it. Yes, you may have compromised yourself. Yes, you may have sinned. Yes, you did not keep on continuing. But God is married to the backslider. Yeah. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will deliver. If God could deliver a Samson, and in his last day, he destroyed more of the Philistines than all that he destroyed all the years prior in one day, your hair is going to grow back. But what I say to you tonight is this: don't pray, Lord, let me die. Because if you don't pray that prayer about God, let me die, you will continue to live. I said I would say something about Hezekiah. I'm going to wrap up for tonight, and I'm going to continue. I'm sure you do see that there were destiny blockers. But what I want you to see tonight, two things. First of all, you don't need a destiny helper to be somebody else all the time, or a destiny blocker to be somebody else all the time. You can be your own destiny helper and a destiny blocker. Nobody did this to Hezekiah. He, because he was afraid, brought himself to this extent. This man that is able to cause God to back up time and space is going to do it to himself again. Because he is going to fall into error, and God says, I'm going to punish your children. You're going to live and complete your time because you've done the right things most of the time, but I'm going to punish your children. And he does not intercede and say, God, have mercy. Don't touch my children. He said, okay. And because of his okay, he messed up the generations to come. I said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that every one of us, you, me, every one of us, have the potential to continue to do the right thing or switch off and begin to do the wrong thing. And the challenge is to always stay in the pathway of righteousness and continue doing the right thing. And when things are going the wrong way, enforce doing the right thing. Man of God, you know, sent me a text. He was trying to send some bread his way, and says, times are hard. You can't do that. You're my friend. You don't need to give me anything. I said, These are the best times. When it looks like things are not the way they should be, that's the time to do what you know to be true and never compromise that. Never. Stay true to the word of God. Pursue it passionately. And in so doing, you will continually reinforce the vision, the purpose of God for your life. Don't compromise yourself. What you believe to be true, stay true to it. Pursue it wholeheartedly. And don't look at the world. Because the more you look at the world and the way the world operates, the more you are going to move away from the path that God has called you to, and you do not follow through going all the way. whether in life or in death, know what God said to you and stick with it. That's the point. Stick with God. Because the enemy is going to be pointing his finger of accusation. He's going to want you to compromise yourself. Don't do it. Don't be crying for help from the wrong places and drinking from broken systems. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He, God, will direct your path. This is an introduction to where we're going. And I'm going to build on this as we keep on going, because God is a covenant-keeping God. He is. You may think, I lost Him somewhere. No. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you turn to Him right this very moment and you say, God, I don't know how I got here. This is not me. I have followed You all of my life, and I don't know how I came to this point, placing my trust in that which is not true. Forgive me and help me get back on track. He will do it for you. He will do it for me. He will do it for you. He will do it for us, because God is wanting to establish a reset. Let Him reset your life. Reset our lives as the people of God, because the world has not seen what God is about to reveal through a church, through a people that is discounted. Devil is discounted. We'll wipe them off. No. That's a lie. We are head and not tail, above only and never beneath. For that which came from above is above all. God has made you head, and you and I win. Praise the Lord. Rise with me wherever you are, at home. If you're driving and you're listening, well, I guess you cannot rise, but rise on the inside of yourself. Oh, glory. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for grace. We're thankful for mercy. We're thankful, oh God, for Your goodness revealed to us. You are the builder of Your church, the church that the gates of hell will not and cannot prevail over. Lord, we surrender our lives to You, and we say, Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will, O God, done in the earth as it is in heaven. Help us, O God, to be steadfast in faith, recognizing, O God, that nothing that we do in You is in vain. Father, not by our might, nor by our power, but by Your Spirit. Help us be men and women of destiny. And as people of destiny, may we arrive at Your ordained destination point. Everything together, everything in order. May we not lose anything that You've assigned to us. May we not stand before You empty-handed. May we never stand before You missing out on things that we're supposed to bring to You. But may we, O God, present to You more than You started, in your giving to us. Like the wise one who multiplied the talents given to him and therefore was given more. Lord, may we be that kind of servant, faithful to the core. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask this. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll continue from the passage in 2 Kings 18 in verse 39 next week. But until then, I want you to know that you are deeply loved of God. If you're hearing me tonight, even though I didn't get to that point in terms of the illustrated word, this is the message I'm bringing to you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you blew it, where you did not continue. God has not forgotten about you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Get back on track. And God is going to use you mightily. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving, that which God has placed in our hands. Let us trust Him with it right now. Be obedient in your calling to give. Don't be casual about it, but steadfastly and faithfully do what God says to do. The battle has been won already. I told you about 2 or 3 weeks ago how the enemy came and was threatening to wreck the finances of people. And I engaged in that battle on behalf of myself and for you. And then I called in that particular vision for an offering, and people said, bring in their offering. I asked them, before I asked them to bring their offering, I said, is your money still in your purse, in your wallet? And people were opening and said, yeah, still got it. I said, then do. Come on. I think that was about 3 weeks ago. On a Sunday morning, I shared that with you, and people came and gave a second offering. That is what has happened in the heavenlies. Now in the earth realm, we need to activate that faith and works. Faith without corresponding action is dead. I cannot, you know, there are battles that I've come to you in different times and said, this battle, you're on your own. I cannot handle yours. Or whatever plan the enemy has against your finances will fail. But you need to do your part and just honor God, and you will not lack any good thing. Amen? Come on, let's do it. Let's honor God with our giving. Those of you online, you have the information. Don't procrastinate about it. Right this very moment, while I'm still talking, begin to release prayerfully that offering, that tithe, that offering, that vow, that commitment, whatever it is God has spoken to you to do, just do it. The e-transfer information is on the screen. If it's a check, write that check, put it in the mail, and send it. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you need to do, just do it. Come right here to the church, drop your envelope. Whatever it is that you need to do, just do it. And you will see the goodness of God in your finances. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord, and enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise the Lord. I love you, and I thank God for every one of you. And may I just say real quickly, Some of you have been having comments on YouTube or Facebook or I don't know all the platforms where information, musical information has been frozen or blocked or whatever. We don't know what's happening. We have honored the copyright information and we don't know why we're getting flagged over and over and over again. But we want you to know that we are people of integrity and we have done our part. You know, for the streaming, we've paid for that, for broadcast of other people's music, we've taken care of that, but we still have that problem, and but we're working on it, and we keep on working at it, and we keep on talking, and so on and so forth. So please, don't be annoyed when you see that happening. It's just an accusation of the enemy, all right? So let's stick together, and let's do what God has called us to do, and be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good night. Love you. People out there on Zoom land.